It was after 4 when Kelly pulled into the marina. "Hop," he told Billy, and that he did. Kelly pushed him aboard Springer, and then directed him into the main salon. Once there, Kelly got some shackles and fastened Billy's wrists to a deck fitting. 10 minutes more, and he was heading out to the bay. Kelly was tired, and finally allowed himself to relax. "Who the fuck are you?" Billy asked, relieved of his gag and unable to bear the silence. Kelly ignored the noise behind him.
"Look, asshole, I want to know who the fuck you are."
Kelly shifted a little, concentrating on the course ahead of him.
"Hey, okay. I don't know what the problem is, but we can talk about it, okay?"
It was going to be hotter than hell, Kelly surmised from the first glow of dawn on the horizon. It was warm enough now that he removed his shirt. The scars on his back from the shotgun blast could hardly have been more clear. There was a long silence, punctuated by a deep intake of breath.
"You're..."
This time Kelly turned, looking down at the naked man chained to the deck. "That's right."
"I killed you,"
Billy objected. He'd never gotten the word. Henry hadn't passed it along.
"Think so?" Kelly asked, looking forward again. "So that's what it's about. She told us all about you before we snuffed her."
Kelly scanned the instrument panel, then checked the charts.
"Pam was a great little fuck, right up to the end," Billy said, taunting his captor. "Not real smart, though, not real smart."
Just past the bay bridge, Kelly switched on the autopilot.
"Did she tell you about the passion marks?" Billy sneered.
He didn't see Kelly's hands tighten on the wheel. The marks about the breast appear to have been made with an ordinary set of pliers, the pathology report had said.
"She talked, you know. She told us everything. How you picked her up, how you partied. We taught her that, mister. Just a whore. A pretty one, but just a fucking little whore. That's how she died, did you know? She died while she was fucking a guy. Funny to watch,"
Billy assured him with a leer.
"I had my fun with her 3 times, man. I hurt her. I hurt her bad. You hear me?"
Kelly opened his mouth, breathing slowly, remaining calm.
"I don't know what the big deal is. I mean, she's just a dead whore. We should be able to cut a deal, like."
Billy stopped, seeing it wasn't working.
"You know, the real shame, I guess, is she needed drugs. You know, if she just knew another place to score, we never would have seen y'all. Then you fucked up, too, remember?"
"Yes, I remember."
"I mean, you really were dumb. After our car got stuck, we called Bert and just went cruising, like. And there you were, easy as hell to spot in that Jeep. You must have really been under her spell, man."
"You fucking idiot, Kelly." Then his shoulders went slack, realizing how empty was his revenge. But, empty or not, it was something he would have. He rose from his chair and moved to another near Billy. "She told you that we were in town to score some drugs. She told you that?" Kelly asked.
"Yeah, that's right."
Billy was puzzled when Kelly started weeping in front of him.
"Jeez, I'm sorry, man," he said.
Kelly closed his eyes. "Dear God, she was protecting me, even after I failed her. She didn't even know if I was alive or not, but she lied to protect me." It was more than he could bear, and Kelly lost control for several minutes. His eyes dried up after a time, and as he wiped his face, he also removed any human feelings he might have had for his guest. "You going to resist?" Kelly asked with a smile. He'd just come back into the salon after tying up to the key on the island. He drew the K-bar and held it next to a particularly sensitive place. Billy shivered. "Good. I want you to learn a little from this. I don't want you ever to hurt another girl again." Kelly loosed the shackles from the deck fitting, but his arms were still bolted together as he stood Billy up.
"Fuck you, man! You're gonna kill me! I ain't gonna tell you shit!"
"I'm not going to kill you, Billy. You'll leave this island alive. I promise." Kelly smiled at the confusion on the man's face. Kelly helped him off the boat and walked him towards a small machinery bunker, then pushed Billy inside. They looked down at a steel cylinder, the steel cover on the end hanging down on its hinge. "You're going to get in that," Kelly told him.
"Fuck you, man!"
Defiance again. Kelly used the butt end of the K-bar to club him. Billy fell to his knees. "One way or another, you're going to get in." Kelly lifted him by the neck and forced his head and shoulders into the opening. "Inside!" A push, and Billy was in. Kelly bolted the hatch and walked out. Billy could wait. The waiting would just make things easier. "Hello?" Her voice sounded normal. "Hi, Sandy. It's John."
"John, what's going on?"
"How is she?"
"Doris, do you mean? She's sleeping now. John, who? I mean, what's happened to her?"
"Sandy, I want you to listen to me very carefully, okay?"
"Okay,"
Sandy said quietly. "Number one, don't tell anybody that she's there. Sure as hell, you don't tell the police."
"John, she's badly injured. She's hooked on pills. I have to..."
"Sam and Sarah, then. Nobody else. Sandy, you got that? Nobody else. Sandy..." Kelly paused.
"I have placed you in danger.
The people who worked Doris over are the same ones."
"I know, John. She told me that you killed somebody."
"Yes, Sandy, I did."
Sandra O'Toole wasn't surprised, but it was a shock, the way he'd said it. Calm, matter of fact.
"Sandy, these are some very dangerous people. Did you see what they..."
"Yes."
"Sandy, I'm sorry."
"John, it's done. I'll handle it, okay?"
"Okay, Sandy. But please, be careful. Promise me."
"I will."
"John,
what you're doing, it's wrong."
"I know," Kelly told her. She took a deep breath.
"But I don't care about that. Not anymore." "I understand, John."
"Thank you," Kelly whispered. "Are you okay?"
"I'll do fine.
I'll be back as soon as I can.
We'll take care of her."
"Okay. Sandy?"
"What, John?"
"Thanks." The line clicked off. "You're welcome," she thought, hanging up.
What a strange man. He was killing people, but he'd taken the time and endangered himself to rescue Doris.
She still didn't understand, Sandy thought, dialing the phone again. Dr. Sidney Farber looked exactly as Emmett Ryan had expected. 40 or so, bearded, pipe smoker. He welcomed the detective, gestured for him to sit down. Ryan saw the files he'd sent over open on the doctor's desk. The doctor got right down to business. "Their suspect," he said, "was decidedly not a psychopath. He killed two deliberately and carefully. Further from the evidence, they were dealing with a highly trained killer, someone almost surgical in his methods. The man was using a disguise. No street bum had the physical strength to kill the mugger that way, and his methods were similar to military-style hand-to-hand combat."
"Maybe if we corner him," Ryan said.
"You don't want to do that," replied the doctor. "All comfy?" Kelly asked. The recompression chamber was designed to reproduce the pressure that came along with scuba diving.
"Look, whatever you want to know,
okay," Kelly heard over the intercom. "I thought you'd see things my way," Kelly replied, starting the compressor. Then he opened the pressurization valve, watching the needles move. "Ever do any skin diving?" Kelly asked.
"No, I haven't."
"Well, you're going to learn what it's like."
"Look, why don't you just ask your fucking questions, okay?"
Kelly switched the intercom off. Kelly was worried about developing sympathy for Billy. He steadied the gauge at 100 feet, closing off the valve. Then he puttered around the shop for an hour while Billy's body adjusted to the increased pressure. "How are you feeling?"
"Look, okay, all right?"
ready to answer some questions.
Anything, okay? Just let me out of here.
Okay, good. Have you ever been arrested, Billy?
Never.
How do I know you're telling the truth?
I am, man, I am.
I have to make sure, okay? Kelly twisted the spigot valve. Air hissed loudly out of the chamber while he watched the pressure gauges. When Kelly bled the air out of the container, bubbles started to form in Billy's bloodstream and tissues. Cell walls started to stretch and rupture. The pain was intense. Billy screamed. Kelly closed the valve and started the repressurization, and in 2 minutes the pressure was back to that of 100 feet. It eased the pain almost completely. The wide and terrified eyes told Kelly that his guest was thoroughly cowed. That was good. Kelly switched on the intercom. That's the penalty for a lie. I thought you should know. Now, ever been arrested, Billy?
Jesus, man, no!
Fingerprinted.
No, never!
Good. Thank you. Now, let's talk about Henry and his organization. The screams were getting louder. Billy, Kelly said after restoring the pressure, I'm not sure I believe that one.
You motherfucker, he screamed. I fixed her, you know. I watched your little baby doll die with Henry's dick in her. And I seen you cry like a fucking baby about it, you fucking pussy.
Kelly made sure his face was at the window when he opened the release valve again, bringing Billy up to 80 feet, just enough for a good taste. They would be bleeding in the major joints now, and his eyes, ears, and sinuses would be affected also. Then Kelly restored the pressure, watching the spasm slow down. Now, Billy, do you know how it was for Pam? He asked.
Hurts!
He was crying now. Now, let's get back to business. Tell me more about Henry. Where does he live?
I don't know, he gasped.
Wrong answer, Kelly snarled.
Please, no, I don't know. We meet at a place off Route 40. He doesn't let us know where.
Billy, you killed Pam, remember? You tortured her to death. You got your rocks off using pliers on her. How many hours, Billy, did you and your friends work on her? 10? 12? Hell, Billy, we've only been talking for 7 hours. You're telling me you've worked for this guy for almost 2 years, and you don't even know where he lives? I have trouble believing that. Going up, Kelly announced.
I don't! Fuck